Welcome back to the Mom Mentality Show. I'm Austin Chadwick. This is Chris Lucian, my co-host. And today we have Jay Bazuzzi joining us.
Hello.
Yes, and we're very excited to have Jay on the show. I've had a lot of great interactions with Jay on Twitter and, you know, just loving to see all the mobbing tips and tricks and also just craftsmanship stuff. And I guess to get us started, Jay, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
The short version is I'm a software developer. I've been doing this for quite a while. I really like mob programming and use it at work.
Right on.
Awesome.
Yeah, and so are you, maybe a little more basic information is,
sure.
Are you a coach or are you just another a developer working at a, you know, company or?
Yeah. I am employed by a large software company in the Seattle area. My title is just software developer. I'm not officially a coach, although I tend to do a lot of coaching with the people that I'm working with.
Awesome. Okay, cool. That helps. And well, what we're going to talk about today was actually something that you wrote about in one of your GitHub accounts, which is beginning, intermediate, and advanced mobbing. And I guess what led you to write that in your GitHub account? And yeah, what's kind of your overall thought process on that?
So, you know, when I first heard about mob programming, it seemed absurd that this could possibly work. And it came with some similarly absurd claims, like this team down in California that I'd never heard of was having these amazing results, high productivity, really low defect rate. And then they also said, you know, we don't recommend doing what we're doing. I said, okay, that's fine, but I would like to see if something we can copy out of that. Maybe we can make some improvement in that direction. And so I started talking to people about, hey, maybe we could try mob programming here. I went to an Agile conference, and somebody there said, hey, we're going to do some mob programming if you want to try it out. And I joined, and it was interesting, but it wasn't a profound, you know, we didn't have this incredible outcome that I thought maybe might be possible from mobbing. And I wasn't really sure why that was. And then a little while later, I went to the first mob programming conference in Boston.
All right.
And I had the opportunity to be in a mob that was coached by Woody Zuhl.
Mm-hmm.
And it was such a different experience. It was amazing. One of the things that I noticed is everybody in the room was fully engaged, but not always on the same thing. And when I was at the keyboard, I felt like the best programmer ever. Somebody would tell me what to do, and then while I was doing it, they'd figure out the next thing, and just as I finished it, they'd feed me the next idea, and I was just going, I'm making test pass, I'm refactoring, just boom, boom, boom. It was fantastic.
Nice.
And I thought that's interesting that there was such a different experience between those.
Yeah.
So that's what really like caught my attention to begin with.
So that first time that you were mobbing at that conference, what was different? Like, what were the behaviors that you kind of like naturally defaulted to in that first experience that were different in the other experience?
Yeah. So some of the things that I noticed were in the beginning mob. Everybody was focused on the one screen, and whatever was being typed in, everybody was paying attention to every single character that was going in and asking, like, do we really want our braces to look like that right now? whereas in the advanced mob, you know, we were able to consider multiple ideas at once. Some people had a whiteboard separate from the person at the keyboard. I think part of what was going on there is everybody in that beginner mob, they had never mobbed before. And so they were just learning, what does this structure feel like? How do I participate in it? What is my role? What should I expect? Mm-hmm. Those things were all very new. While the advanced mob, we had had some practice mobbing. We had great facilitation and had this very different experience.
Awesome.
Right on. And I've read through your beginning, intermediate, and advanced entries on that GitHub account page, which I'll put in the show notes. Is it more like progression? Like, oh, if you're starting out, here are some things to consider for beginning mob, And then is it like you feel good with that, you move on to intermediate, advanced? Is it meant to be seen as progression? Or, you know, what's the, I guess, the use case for it exactly?
Yeah, that's a good question. I really started with observation more than suggestion. So I noticed that different mobs were behaving in different ways. And when they had a facilitator or a coach with them, they were getting different guidance. And I just tried to write down all the things that I saw. As far as what I would recommend somebody doing with these ideas, I would say your first time through as a mob, take the beginner document and just copy that. It's kind of a shuhari thing. Copy what you see there as it's written without really understanding it because you don't have a basis for understanding yet. So just do the set of practices that are described in beginner. And then as you notice points of friction or things that are going better than they were when you started, those are maybe opportunities to start bringing in some of the other practices. And as far as the transition goes from beginner to intermediate to advanced, I think it's more up to you and your context to figure that out.
Yeah, right on. And that's really funny you said shuhari because after I read it, the first thing I thought of was shuhari. Like you start out more prescriptive, more basics of rotating and how the timer works and, you know, who more strict navigation. And then the, you know, you kind of open it up and seek more, I think you tied into Willem's game, right? And, and then you start seeking the higher level roles and then, and I guess kind of going along with shuhari, does it seem like advanced had less strict rules and kind of more, I think you had a note in there about, multiple navigators as opposed to one. So I guess what makes you believe that advanced mobbing is more less strict navigation maybe, or maybe more loose?
Yeah, well, the specific thing that I noticed there was, especially with beginning mobs, where they didn't know each other, maybe they didn't know the tools as well, the person at the keyboard would get overwhelmed if five people told them what to do at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
And so we've found it useful to apply a structure there where there's one navigator that feeds the driver, and anybody else can have an idea, but the navigator chooses. And so this way, the person who is at the keyboard and on display and performing for everybody, it's an uncomfortable position, they are at least fed just a single instruction, single idea, this is what you should do next. So they need that structure and safety there. But we noticed that as the group got more comfortable working together, more comfortable with the format of mobbing, having two people suggest an idea at the same time wasn't necessarily a problem. That the group was able to navigate that. How do we pick which idea we're going to do right now? Or, you know, here's a third idea that's better now that we've heard those two. That as you get more towards that advance, it becomes easier for all these ideas to just sort of pop out wherever they are and for the group to navigate that.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think, you know, over the last few years, I've seen a lot more people start mobbing by joining an existing mob. And so sometimes I personally lose sight of the, you know, if you get people that have never mobbed before together and just say, hey, you know, do this thing, then there's a lot of ambiguity between the space of where you're saying four people are going to work together, four or five people are going to work together on the same thing versus like a higher level of expertise in the practice, right? It takes a lot of practice and a lot of reflection to get there. And there is kind of a shortcut to like developing that muscle memory, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And it resonates with my experience as well, because when you start out mobbing, you need all the structure just even to know what to do. Like you said, I think safety, that's something I haven't really considered in that. Like when you're first doing it, because it's been a while since it's been the first time, you're like, what the heck is going on, right? So a lot of that structure gives you something to do that'll work, you know, right? But then kind of following the Agile Manifesto, you retrospect and you change your process, right? And then each mob will come out with their own processes, multiple navigators or something different, and you need less of that structure. So I found that really helpful. Anything else you want to say about beginning, intermediate, advanced mobbing?
You know, I'll give one example of a practice that one mob I saw us develop. So this is a mob that I worked with for about a year, and we were really comfortable with each other as people and in our communication. And one of the ways that showed up is we actually got good at interrupting each other. So normally I would recommend that people be really careful not to interrupt each other and pay attention to who's being interrupted and try to make sure that that doesn't become a problem. But for this particular group, we were actually fine with interrupting each other. So one person could start saying an idea and another person would jump in, and that was okay. We knew that we'd get background if we needed to. Everybody was participating roughly evenly, so that wasn't a problem. And it helped our dynamic work really well. I've been in other mobs where that wouldn't work well at all. I wouldn't normally recommend picking interruption as a practice, but in this particular mob, that worked really nicely for us.
Yeah, so I mean, that's a good point too, is that any combination of people will develop their own norms, and so trying to accelerate towards whatever you're performing statuses, it will look very different from mob to mob. And so being open-minded to things that you hear about other mobs doing and just seeing if it works for you or not, and if it doesn't work for you, then that works well, to just try it and then abandon it if it, like, it's okay to not do everything that everybody says is good, right?
Yeah.
So are you mobbing full-time, and are those mobs consistent with the people that are in them, or are you mobbing with different groups of people? How has that impacted your thoughts on this?
So I'm mobbing, the way that you describe it is, I say we mob by default.
Okay.
So, mobbing needs to be fully voluntary. Mm. Each person shows up in their appropriate way, but that is our normal way of working today. And I'm on my second mob at the current company. Teams change, but we keep mobbing.
Yeah.
And I've definitely seen that each of those groups behaves differently. This current group, we've been together half a year, really stable. And it took us some time to learn how to work together really effectively. We just made a point of doing regular retrospectives. We've been using Mobadoro. It's been fantastic to have these mini retros every half hour.
Nice.
It's been really good for working tiny issues.
We get a lot of people asking questions about that retro every half hour, 45 minutes or whatever. What does it look like for you to have a retro that frequently? Because I think that always shocks people, I think, when they hear about that. So that'd be probably very interesting to our audience.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, I mean, the first thing I would say to frame that is, if you're having a problem or you're finding your retros are not valuable or whatever, you should try to retro more often. And this feels like the end result of that guidance, like do more and more often until you get to this point where you're at the half hour cadence.
Mm-hmm.
Our retros are usually 1 or 2 minutes long. So it's not taking up a ton of time to do it so often. It's really common for us to get to the retro point and look around and say, I don't have anything to talk about right now, and that's fine as well.
Mm-hmm.
The kinds of things we've noticed that we talk about in those retros, one time we noticed that the room we were in had kind of an echo that made one person's voice very boomy. So we just swapped where people were sitting so that the echo was different. And that's an example of something that's really a small fix. I remember feeling really annoyed with the noise, and I said, hey, I'm annoyed with the noise, and then the problem was fixed and now it's gone. It's a nice.
Like,
it would have been, if we were doing every 2 week retros, I would not have said, hey, my number one topic is this booming voice. But at the half hour cadence, it's really easy to bring that up as the thing to talk about.
Yeah, there's less risk that large period of time will go by, or a period of time will go by, and you have a more important item to cover than something like that, which could be a nagging problem for a very long period of time, and you may never get it fixed in a traditional environment, or it might cause people to snap at each other or something like that. So you can get rid of a lot of those nagging issues, I think, in those frequent retros.
And that's what I've enjoyed about the frequent retros too, is that the context everyone knows, right? When it's a more drawn out retro, like every 2 weeks or every once a week, it's like, oh, over navigation has been happening. We're like, when? I kind of remember it happened, and so it's less fresh, so it's harder to course correct, right?
Yeah.
Or if it's like, in the last 30 minutes, over navigation has been happening. Then we're like, oh, okay, well, we all remember the last 30 minutes. So we can talk about exactly what's been happening and what we can do to change. And so it's the knowledge is much higher when it's recent. Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic.
And so I've been on a mob where we did do the retro and the timer, but then we also have a kind of more formal, I don't know, agile retrospective book type retro. Do you guys still do those kind of formal, you know, stickies and happy sad or the different formats, or do you just do only the short retrospectives?
Yeah, we still do both. Okay. There's a couple of reasons for that. One is that our mob doesn't include everybody who would think of themselves as being part of the team.
Mm-hmm.
So sort of the in deference to like the identity of the whole team, we do what they expect, which is sprintly retrospectives. And then the other reason is there are some issues that I think need that deeper consideration, spending, you know, a full hour or whatever is your time box, thinking hard about an issue that has come up. So I'm glad for both.
Oh, right on. Nice. And then one more follow-up question what you said. So I'm familiar with the concept of Mobadero, but maybe for our listeners, do you mind describing it real quick?
Yeah, so our way of doing Mobadero, so everybody's going to be a little different, is we ask the question, what is it we want to work on over the next half hour? We pick some task or topic. We set a timer. We're currently then running a 20-minute timer where we run a regular mob rotation. And then at the end of that, timer goes off. We have a short retro, typically about 2 minutes. And then we walk away from the computer for 5 minutes. You can, as long as you leave the space, that is good enough. What you do in that time is up to you. And then we come back together and repeat that. And then assuming we actually make it to three of those in a row, then we stop and have a longer break for the next iteration.
Nice.
And that's our structure.
Right on. And I'm not sure if you said you were using a tool called Mobadero, or is there a tool you're using to help facilitate this?
We normally use a phone timer.
Oh,
to
nice.
Run that. We have tried different tools a little bit, but it hasn't really been something that's felt important yet. So we're happy with the phone timer.
Oh, great. So you use a phone timer just for your mob rotation between driver, navigator, et cetera, as well?
So we go back and forth on that.
Okay.
We've noticed that this particular mob doesn't feel that strongly about the rotation of who's at the keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
So this is definitely one of those beginner, intermediate, advanced ideas that for a beginner mob, I would definitely insist we're going to set a timer for the typist and take turns according to that. And as we've gotten more comfortable together, sometimes that hasn't felt important. The thing that we watch out for is the person at the keyboard is doing the programming while other people are watching or getting distracted. If that starts to happen, we stop what we're doing and bring back the structure and keep things moving with everybody involved. But as long as everybody is currently involved and we're all making decisions collectively, the person at the keyboard is carrying out the will of the whole group, then the importance of rotating keyboard maybe doesn't matter as much.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's really interesting you say that, because I found that as well. I've been on mobs where we experimented with no timer, and it seemed to go well. And as you said, you watch for the things, right? You watch for engagement, you watch for contribution, equality of navigation, all those things. But then I like what you said as well. It's not like, oh, we've advanced to, we've progressed to the advanced mob and now we don't need structure anymore. You got to keep observing and retrospecting and bring back the structure, as you said, when it's needed, right? You know, so sometimes a mob that's been together for a while might need strict navigation to help equalize navigation or something like that. And so, that really resonates with me as well. Any questions for Jay? Anything else? Or anything else you want to share with us, Jay? I'll put in the show notes as well, is he has an excellent set of patterns, and I've been abusing it on Twitter. So he has a bunch, he has probably 10 to 15 patterns for mobbing that I reference quite a bit. And so, one favorite of mine is the do both you have documented in there. So conflicting ideas, which idea do we do? You know, we do both. And then the mob, after trying both for a little bit in the time box, it'll become obvious which way to go. And that has come in handy so many times, and I really appreciate you putting it down in writing because it gives it a name, right? And that's the great thing about patterns.
I just remembered my question. I was trying to think of it.
Yes.
So lately when I encounter people that are mobbing on a regular basis, I like to ask them, what is kind of the number one aspect of your best, like, or maybe is there a pattern or anything along those lines that you notice when you have your best mobbing moments? So there's like very abstract question, but you know, in the times where you felt like the mob was doing the best or just you really hit flow, you know, that sort of thing. What was common about those moments?
That's an interesting question.
It's a lot to put on you right on the spot.
Yeah, so some of the things that I've noticed when I feel like the mob is really, being very effective. One is when one person has an idea, like I'll have an idea where I think this is a good idea. You know, if I was working alone, I would do this idea. And as soon as that, as I speak that idea, then a moment later somebody says, here's how to make that a better idea.
Nice.
And it's not necessarily something that person would have come up with on their own, but it's also not the idea that I had anymore. It's become something bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And so that might mean, like, I might say, that variable could use a better name, but I don't know what a better name would be. And then somebody else says, here's a better name. And then somebody else makes it better still. And so those kinds of collaborations, I really like those.
Yeah, the sum is greater than its parts, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Like yeah, fantastic.
Another thing I notice that I really like is each person is showing up with different skills and backgrounds. And so, like, I know C++ better than most of the people I work with, whatever. Mm-hmm. And somebody else knows maybe the IDE that we're working in really well. And somebody else knows the domain that we're working in, and I don't know anything about the domain.
Mm-hmm.
And when we put all three of us together, my skills and each of those other people's skills can suddenly be effective in a way that they wouldn't be able to be effective separately. And I really like when that happens too.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think I've noticed both patterns in my time mobbing, and yeah, that's those are really wise observations.
Yeah, and I just had one today where it was they didn't take my idea and make it better, but then they told me, oh, well, if we did that, then this terrible thing would happen. And I'm like, and it would take us hours to discover it. And I'm like, if I were alone, I would have been in the cave for 2 hours and then discovered that. So I'm like, thank you for saying something.
Yeah. Not, just saved my
yeah.
2 hours.
So,
very
yeah,
cool.
I definitely experienced the benefits of the ideas congealing and just, and yes, and this, and then yes, on that, and then something better than we would have come up with alone. And yeah, I guess that before we close out the show, Jay, is there anything else you'd like to share or plug or end with?
So I want to say something about the mob programming pattern language, which is I didn't think of these things myself. I observed other people doing them or coaching mobs to do them, and I just wanted to write them down. I hope that other people who are mobbing contribute or reshape it, whatever you think it should be. It's not my baby. Please make it good in whatever way is good for you. I would love to see it become useful to more people. So it's up on my GitHub. I assume we'll put a link in the show notes where people can fork, send pull requests, whatever they would like to do.
Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah. And it is true. I have forked it and did a very minor pull request, but it got accepted. So thanks, Jay. Yeah, and so basically another similar to the IBM's pattern library, mm-hmm. It's a similar call to action to, hey, take on the anthropologist role. I think that's one of the newer ones to Willem's mob programming RPG roles, but to observe the mobs and make observations and share them and because they're very, very useful. I found Jay's and other libraries very useful.
Yeah, it's great for communicating out that, it's not just the driver and the watchers. There's a whole ecosystem and economy that happens within a mob that makes the communications happening, make that network more valuable.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome.
Well, with that said, I'll close this out, Chris.
Yeah, so I just want to make sure that we always say like and subscribe and stuff like that, but I think the number one most important thing is that if you know of somebody that could really use this information, it would be helpful to them, just send them a link to this video. And I think that that could be a really helpful way of getting, you know, making this show successful, but also helping other people out with discovering these things. So with that said, you know, thanks, Jay. Thanks, Austin. Thanks for joining us on the show, and we'll see you next time.
All right. See ya.
Take care.